Welcome to Dishing the Science with Dr. Sue. I'm your host, Dr. Sue Peterson. I'm a Canadian physician, a specialist in endocrinology and metabolism, and a diplomat of the American Board of Obesity Medicine. I draw on my over 20 years of clinical experience and my extensive research background to examine the complex issues surrounding weight management, diabetes, and overall health. Thanks for joining us today. Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining me on drsue.ca. That's drsue.ca. Today, we're talking about how many people with obesity actually receive prescriptions for weight management medication. Older data have shown that obesity medications are prescribed far less often than medications for other chronic medical conditions like type 2 diabetes, with only about 2% of people with obesity receiving treatment with medication. A lot has changed in recent years in the weight management world. How has this impacted prescribing of weight management medication? A recent retrospective study looked at American electronic health records from a large health system in Florida and Ohio. They looked at data from January 2015 until June of 2023, looking at people with a body mass index of at least 30 who had at least one visit with their family doctor and who had either sought or received weight management care, which was defined by attending at least one weight management program or receiving an initial prescription for weight management medication. They evaluated prescribing of the five obesity medications available in the United States for long-term weight management during that time, which was naltrexone bupropion, which is Contrave, Orlistat, which is Xenical, phentermine topiramate, which is Qsymia, that one's not available in Canada, liraglutide 3 mg, which is Saxenda, and semaglutide 2.4 mg, which is Wegovy. They excluded dose forms of liraglutide and semaglutide approved for diabetes management, which is Victoza and Ozempic, respectively. Out of a total of about 250,000 people with obesity, the study identified just over 50,000 people who had either sought or received obesity care during this time frame. They found that only 8% of these people, so about 4,000, had received a prescription for obesity medication, and only 4.4% had filled prescriptions for these treatments. They found that medical insurance presence and type affected whether or not a prescription was given and whether it was filled. No surprise there. People who identified as being male, ethnic minorities, and lower socioeconomic status were less likely to receive a new prescription. So by my math, this works out to about 1.6% of people with obesity who had been prescribed an obesity medication, similar to older data. I'd be really interested to see what the trend looked like in the last year of the study ending in 2023 compared to the first year, which was 2015, as use of weight management medication has certainly been on the rise with the advent of the more effective Ozempic, which is Wegovy, and tirzepatide, which is Zepbound, as obesity medications. It should also be noted that some avenues of getting prescriptions for medication may not have been captured in this database. That being said, the barriers and disparities identified by the study remain: cost, access, insurance coverage, and socioeconomic and ethnic disparities. While these data come from the US, where cost of these medications are amongst the highest in the world, cost, access, insurance coverage, and socioeconomic disparities resonate around the world. So the bottom line here is that obesity medications remain very underutilized, with cost, insurance, access, and socioeconomic disparities presenting barriers to treatment. Stay tuned for more about barriers to treatment in an upcoming blog post. That's all for now. Thanks for listening. drsue.ca, drsue.ca. Thanks for listening to Dishing the Science with Dr. Sue. For more information about current hot topics and science relating to obesity, diabetes, and overall health, check out the show notes for links and visit drsue.ca. That's drsue.ca. Don't forget to leave a review and subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platforms. Medical discussion on this podcast is of a general nature only, not designed to give specific medical advice to individuals nor their individual healthcare providers, and is intended for a Canadian audience.